So the epistle for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Ephesians chapter 3. Brethren, I pray you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom all paternity in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit with might unto the inward man, that Christ may dwell by faith in your hearts, that being rooted and founded in charity, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and height and depth, to know also the charity of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do all things more abundantly than we desire or understand, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations, world without end. Amen. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 14. At that time, when Jesus went into the house of one of the chiefs of the Pharisees on the Sabbath day to eat bread, they watched him. Behold, there was a certain man before him that had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" But they held their peace. But he, taking him, healed him and sent him away. And answering them, he said, "Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit, and will not immediately draw him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him to these things. And he spoke a parable also to them that were invited, marking how they chose the first seats at the table, saying to them, "When thou art invited to a wedding, sit not down in the first place, lest perhaps one more honorable than thou be invited by him. And he that invited thee and him come and say to thee, 'Give this man place,' and then thou begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when thou art invited, go, sit down in the lowest place, that when he who had invited thee cometh, he may say to thee, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then shalt thou have glory before them that sit at table with thee, because every one that exalted himself shall be humbled, and he that humbled himself shall be exalted." Please be seated. To seek after Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This Sunday's liturgy encourages us to seek, in a sense we can say, the perfection of our souls. God calls us to a certain perfection. And therefore we are meant to try to spend this life in trying to reach after that perfection, what God is calling us to. St. Paul in his epistle reminds us that Christ must dwell in our hearts by faith, being rooted in a true charity, a true love of God above all things. That epistle should be familiar to us because it is also the epistle of in the Mass of the Sacred Heart. And that was something to try to give you a fruit from my retreat, besides telling you that I want to become a monk. That the retreat to the monks, my brother explained to them the Sacred Heart and then the virtues for us to follow from the Sacred Heart. And he kind of entitled it, "The Monks Living the Gospel of Our Lord," you know, living the Word of God. And I think from that, obviously, we can see in today's Gospel kind of the hallmark of the Sacred Heart himself. We can say the foundation for our spiritual life, which is humility. And I think that's something that it is good for us to contemplate, to think about. Because one, there is a danger sometimes of falling into a false humility, which is obviously a sin against this virtue, of just wanting people to praise us. We put ourselves down in order for other people to build us up. In a way, it's very dangerous for us because it is living a lie. But so it is good for us then to contemplate this virtue then of humility. It is something that tries to put into place the excellence or the talents or the gifts that God has given to us. You know, one, being thankful to God for the gifts he has given to us to try to utilize them for his glory. But then where we don't look back and see that it's us that we should praise. Obviously, any good that we can do comes from God. And so our Lord gives this parable, obviously, to those that found fault in our Lord. You know, first he has the man that has the dropsy. And so he asks him, should anyone be cured on the Sabbath day? And they wouldn't even answer him. In a way, they knew that they would be in trouble for how they answered that. Because certainly for them, the Sabbath day, for us, the Sunday, no work should be done. But our Lord was trying to show to them that curing this man is obviously an act of charity. You know, there are certain conditions where you can work on a Sunday, helping someone else. Say somebody has a farm and they need to have the crops done or whatever it may be. What of charity, you could help someone. You could be able to do that work. Or obviously helping for the glory of God, those that are cooking today, setting up, cleaning up today, that is for the glory of God. That can be done on Sundays. And so that's where when we understand these things, sometimes obviously the Pharisees, for them, yes, they had the law before their eyes. Externally, they would follow that, but internally, they didn't have that spirit. And so for them, it was black and white. Well, you can't work on a Sunday, so therefore, you can't help someone. You can't, you know, cure someone. But that's why our Lord then asked them and said, well, who has like an animal that falls into a pit, doesn't immediately take that animal out? Trying to help them to see that. Then he goes on even further from that, and you can see he's very pointed in what he gives them as a parable. And that is one of the things that my brother had brought out throughout his conferences were the parables of our Lord and then what he was teaching from them and for what virtues we are meant to follow. And so here you have very clearly that our Lord is talking about those that humble themselves are exalted. Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. And so he gives the example of being invited to a wedding feast. Of how be careful of not assuming the highest place at table, that you are the most important person that is invited. He said, lest that obviously the one who is running this wedding, that he comes over and says, I need you to move. I need you to take a lower place because there is someone more important than you that came. And therefore, that person will be humbled and having to go to a lower place. And so our Lord says what you should do is you should go and assume the lowest place. And then, okay, if the one who is running the wedding feast, if he calls you higher, says, friend, come higher. Well, then he is the one that is exalting you, not yourself. So very clearly, our Lord is pointing out to them of how that they exalt themselves. They will be humbled. That we need to have this virtue of humility. I mean, even our Lord shows us that, tells us that when he says, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And that is why we say that this is, one, a hallmark of the Sacred Heart, but also the foundation for all of us in the spiritual life. If we have this virtue of humility, we will be able to grow in other virtues. But if we don't have this virtue, then how are the other virtues going to be built in our soul? Because if we think ourselves something special, if we think we're something wonderful, chances are we're going to be humbled by God. And so we have to be careful of that. And so that is why my brother, when he brought out in the retreat that the monk is meant to seek after God. How does he seek after God? He follows the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. Following that example, you obviously follow his virtues. And in following the virtues, you look and you see that the hallmark is his humility. Our Lord did not go out and preach about himself. Our Lord did not go out and make mention of all the things that he had done. It is only when he was asked. And that is where you see very clearly that our Lord had this great humility. Even though he was God, even though he was perfect, even though he could do all things, he still showed to us this virtue of humility. And that is where especially modern man falls short of that. Because in a large sense, modern man puts the praise on themselves for what they can accomplish, for what they're able to do, failing to realize that that comes because of God. But God is out of the picture. They push God out of the picture so therefore that they can glorify man. And so that is something that is important for us to meditate and to think about. And as I say, especially as we look at the gospel in today's Mass, that our Lord very specifically is trying to help us to see you have got to be humble or you will be humbled. And do not worry about trying to exalt yourself. In time, God willing, we will be exalted in heaven. And again, that goes back to why we're created, why we are here, what are we meant for? We are meant to give honor and glory to Almighty God. And I think that's one of the things that we have to, in order to try to have humility, we have to understand that. We have to understand our place before God. That is why it is referred to as a cornerstone of the spiritual life. Because humility implies a dependence on God. We are reliant upon God for the graces that he gives to us. Because remember, the graces are a gift from God. God doesn't owe any of us any graces. And so therefore, we have to have this humility in order to be pleasing to God. But God wants to sanctify us. It is the work of God. St. Paul also tells us that. It is God's will that we be sanctified. So God wants us to be holy. And so therefore, we've got to try to accomplish that in our lives. And so not only is humility the cornerstone of the religious life, but it's the cornerstone of the spiritual life for all of us. It's not something just for the religious, not just for the monks. Humility is something that we must all try to practice. And we've got to recognize, okay, the gifts and talents we have, they come from God. The things we're able to do well, thanks be to God. Give the glory to God for that, and that is what we're meant to do. And again, when my brother was preaching in the retreat, he was just telling him, simply try to do the things for the glory of God. What it is the work that you have, whether it is your prayer life that you have, whatever it may be, try to do it for God's glory. And that is where the graces will come for your soul. If we understand that. Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre had said, if we have the conviction of the greatness of God, then we will see how little we are before the eyes of God. So if you have that conviction, if you have that understanding that God is great, that will show to you of how little we actually are, and in a sense, how dependent we are on Almighty God. We're dependent on God for our existence. He brought us into this world. We're dependent on God keeping us in existence in this world. And then all the virtues, all the graces, they all come from God. They're all gifts from God. So yes, we are very dependent on Almighty God. And so that is where then we must truly seek after Christ, seek after our Lord. Because we are meant to have a union with God. That is the whole purpose of why we were here. And I think, I mean, for all of us, it should be something that we meditate upon. I mean, hopefully you have chances to go on retreats. You see the importance of the retreats that you're able to go on. I highly encourage it. I mean, it's something that in our statutes we need to do every year. And so that's how I was able to make it through the generosity of Father Cyprian and then my brother, of being able to make it at the monastery now. But it's so important for us to have that time to think of Almighty God, to think of what he has given to us, to think of what he has done for us, and how much we owe God. But again, I think our lives go so quickly we forget that. We keep moving on day by day, and keep going on that we forget a lot of times of what God has done for us. I mean, very simply, he has given us life. And then it goes from there, goes on from there. But it's beautiful for us to think about. It's beautiful for us to consider and to think about of how much God loves us and how much he wants us in heaven. Does he need us? No. But does he want us there? Absolutely. That is why he has created us. And so it is a beautiful meditation for us. It is something that I encourage for all of us to consider, how much we're reliant on God, how much we're dependent on him. And then through that, God willing, that will help us to see, okay, how little we are, how much we need God. But yet, God wants to do so much for us. He wants to give us so many graces. And I think that's the thing that we have to try to also consider. Do we ask for these graces? Do we beg God for this help that we need? The daily struggles we have, the difficulties we have, the crosses and trials. Do we ask for those graces from God? So that should be something that we gain from this. As I mentioned, St. Paul in his epistle talks about, yes, it needs to be rooted in our faith and in charity, the love of God above all things. But the foundation comes for us is from the virtue of humility. Help us all to realize how much we need God. And from that dependence will hopefully also show to us of how much we need to be pleasing to God. Of living a life of virtue, a meritorious life, an efficacious life. And that is what we can offer to Almighty God. So yes, let us seek after our perfection. Let us seek after Christ. Let us beg God for these graces, so that we can say with Our Lady that, like in the Magnificat, my soul doth magnify the Lord. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.